you may have seen a bumper sticker which says something like this: in case of the rapture, this vehicle will be unoccupied. Or you may have read a book or watched a movie that in some way depicted what many people call the rapture. One of the most popular ideas about the end of time today is the teaching of the rapture. Now, one of the first things that we notice about this word is that the word itself is not in the Bible. The Bible does not use the word rapture. Now, that doesn't mean, by itself, that the concept is unscriptural. The word Trinity is not in the Bible, and yet we know that the Bible teaches that idea. The word Bible is not in the Bible. But at the same time, it is a fact worth noting that the word itself, the word rapture, is not in the Bible. That means that we're going to have to go elsewhere to see what the meaning of that word is. The word rapture oftentimes refers to a state or a feeling of great happiness, pleasure, or love. But in the sense that we're talking about, the word rapture refers to what is oftentimes defined as the final assumption of Christians into heaven during the end time. Now, at first, this sounds like something in the Bible. The idea of the rapture is that Christians are going to be taken up from the earth, that they're going to be snatched up from the world. That sounds like something in the Scriptures because the Scriptures do talk about Christians being taken from the earth to heaven. But the popular notion of the rapture is much more than that. The teaching of the rapture says that this will happen when Jesus comes. But at that time, this same doctrine says that nobody will see Jesus or hear him. The rapture says that Jesus will come in secret. Now, that doesn't sound like anything you read in the Bible when you think about all those passages that talk about the end of time and Jesus coming again. And yet, this doctrine says that Jesus is going to come sometime in the future in secret. Nobody will see him and nobody will hear him. Then the idea says that Christians will be taken from the earth. Both the living and the dead will be raptured into heaven. So the Christians that are alive on the earth will be raptured to heaven, but before that, the Christians who have died will be raised from the dead, and they will be raptured up with those living Christians into heaven. Now, what's going to happen to the other people then, according to this doctrine? Well, the rapture teaching says that the rest of the people, the lost, will be left here for 7 years of the worst tribulation that the world has ever known. During that time, the Antichrist will rise and lead a one-world government, and the world will be covered with evil. Then, at the end of that 7-year period, Jesus will return again and put down the forces of evil. And he will establish, the doctrine says, the Israelite nation under the law of Moses for a period of 1,000 years. So the rapture is the idea that Jesus is going to come in secret sometime in the future to take all the Christians from the earth and from the graves. Now, if you've been following this series on the end of time, and you remember some of the passages in the Bible that we've already been looking at, you can see right away that there are problems with this idea. In the first place, the rapture says that there will be two resurrections of the dead. It says that the Christians will be raised from the dead at one time, and then years later, the wicked will be raised from the dead. Now, that goes against what Jesus plainly said in John 5:28-29. Jesus said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." John 5:28-29. So Jesus said that the wicked and the righteous will be judged at the last great day in the last hour. But the rapture says that they're going to be judged at separate times. Number two, the Bible says that the wicked and the saved will be here when Jesus comes to judge the world. Now, this is what the parable of the tares is all about. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 43, Jesus gives the parable of the tares. And what this parable shows is that the wicked and the righteous are going to be in the world until the end of time. In Matthew 13, verse 39, the Bible says that the enemy that sowed them is the devil, the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Now, when is all that going to happen? It's going to happen at the same time, the last great day, the end of time, the day of judgment. So the Bible teaches that good people and bad people are going to be on the earth until the end of time. There's not going to be this premature separation that the rapture idea talks about. And then another passage where Jesus talks about the judgment, and he plainly says that the good and the bad are going to be here until the very end, is the great judgment scene in Matthew 25, 31 through 46. He says in verse 31 of Matthew 25 that when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. In verse 34, he's going to say to those on his right hand, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And then in verse 41, "Then shall he also say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." So this passage shows again that the righteous and the lost will be on the earth until the end of time when Jesus comes to judge all mankind. Now, another passage that we've looked at that shows that this idea of some kind of separate judgment or separate resurrection of the dead is not true is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And in verses 3 through 10, Paul talks about the end of time. And notice that he says in this passage that in the last great day, at the same time that Jesus comes to judge the wicked, he is coming to give comfort and rest to the righteous. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6, "Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, when are these people, these Christians, going to receive rest? It is going to be at the same time, he says, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven, when he comes in flaming fire to take vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, another passage which plainly shows that Jesus is not coming in secret is in Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Here we find Jesus ascending back up into heaven in the presence of his apostles, and in Acts 1, verse 9 beginning, the Bible says, "And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." So these two angels said that Jesus is going to come back in the same way that he left. He ascended up to heaven in their sight. They saw him ascending to heaven. That means that when Jesus comes back, people are going to see him descending from heaven. It's not going to be some kind of secret coming of the Lord where nobody will see him and nobody will hear him. Now, the question is, why do so many people believe this idea then? What kind of scriptures do people use to try to back up or to establish this idea of the rapture? Well, we're going to look at these two passages that are found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and in Matthew chapter 24. So let's start first of all with the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we're going to look in verse 15. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15, Paul said, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." We will not precede them, that is. He's talking about the dead in Christ. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now, what Paul is doing here is giving assurance to these Christians that the Christians who had died in the Lord have not perished, they're still alive, and they will be taken to heaven just like the Christians who are alive and remain when Jesus comes again. Now, that's why he only mentions the Christians here. He's not saying that the people who are dead, who are outside of Christ, won't be raised at that time. The reason that he doesn't even mention them is because he's not talking about them, because those people are lost and they don't have any hope. He's talking to the Christians about Christians who have passed away, and he's giving them assurance. So the idea of the rapture is not in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now then, the second passage is Matthew 24, and we're going to look at verse 40 and 41. Matthew 24, verse 40 and 41. Here Jesus says that when he comes again, "Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left." Well, you see, this refers to exactly what Paul was talking about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Christians are going to be taken up to heaven to be with God forever. Now, what's going to happen to people who are not Christians? Well, they're going to be left. That is, they're going to be left standing before the judgment seat of Christ, and they're going to then hear the words of Jesus when he says, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." You see, this passage doesn't mean that those lost sinners are going to be left on the earth for 7 years or for 1,000 years. It simply means that they're going to be left standing at the judgment bar of Jesus Christ, and then they're going to go immediately to their eternal home, which is the lake of fire and brimstone. So the truth is, the rapture doctrine has sold a lot of books, it has made a lot of movies, and it has made a lot of money, but it is not in the Bible. And we need to spend our time getting ready for the judgment day and not on speculating about things that the Bible does not even mention.